Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Beis. We begin at the very, very top with the brand new Mishnah Chav Beis of Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Sukkah Hamiduv Leles, a Sukkah that is Miduv Leles. Rashi tells us, we'll learn this in the Gemara, there will be two explanations for what Miduv Leles means. We'll understand this as a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So we'll wait to explain it in a moment, but this Sukkah that's known as a Miduv Leles is going to be Kshera. Now, the Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas, how you read the next statement. Is it and also a second type of a sukkah, vishutzilasa meruba mechamasa, or is this an explanation of the first statement? So we'll read it right now as if it's an explanation of the first statement, like the opinion of Rav. Sukkah hameduv leles, the sukkah that's known as a sukkah meduv leles, which has vishutzilasa meruba mechamasa, that the tzel, the shade, is more than the sun, is kshera. This is a kosher sukkah. Next part of the Mishnah tells us, Hama'uva, if it's very thick, if the schach is very thick, we're really going to explain how we define very, very thick. Kamin bayis, the Mishnah says, like the house. In other words, have so much schach that it's almost like a ceiling in a house. So one might have thought that this should be a gzeira, that we should say it's not a kosher sukkah. So afa pi she'ein ha'kochavim nirim mitocha, even though it's so thick that you can't even see the stars through it, nevertheless, kshera, this is also a kosher sukkah, and the Gemara will explain this in more detail. Gemara starts off and tells us, my miduv lelis. What do we mean in the Tana Kama, the Reisha of the Mishnah, when we say that the sukkah miduv lelis is kshera? So we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav, Rav says it means sukkah aniya. It means a poor sukkah. What does it mean, a poor sukkah? Rashi tells us, sheish bischacha koni ma'at. It has very, very few pieces of schach. V'yesh bo avir harbe, has a lot of open spaces. Elo, shein bo shlosha biyachad. But it doesn't have three tvachim of air space together. So overall, you also have, as we'll see, shein tzilasa meruba mechamasa. So you have lots of air spaces, but overall you have 51% schach and 49% air spaces, and no place do you have three tvachim of air space together, and therefore this is a kosher sukkah, omarav, sukkah aniyah. It's a poor sukkah, meaning in terms of the schach, it's shvach, but at the same time it's kosher schach. You have one piece of schach on a different level in the vertical axis than on the other pieces of schach. So you have two rows of schach. You can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai. Now, for those that have the old Pirush Chai, there's a separate volume for the second volume, a separate volume for the third volume. In the new Pirush Chai, they're all mixed in together. Now, I have the old version. So it's in the second volume booklet, little booklet, paperback booklet, and this can be found on page 72, and it will be diagram number 360, where you can see, according to Shmuel, you have two horizontal layers of schach, these boards. One layer is higher than the other. We'll see in the Gemara, does it have to be higher than three tvachim, less than three tvachim. And here, in the first picture that we have, they are alternating, so you have, when you look at it from a point of view of the 100% directly above you, the sun is directly above you in the sky, so there will be no actual air spaces because you have on the top row filling in what is on the lower level, the air spaces. And then on the lower level, you have the boards that are filling in the air spaces on the top level. Again, it's very easy to see this in the diagram on page 72, diagram number 360 in the Pirush Chai, and if you have the illustrated Gemara, this would be on page 45, diagram number 135. The Art Scroll actually has a diagram of this as well on the next page, on 22A2, next to footnote number 23. You can see the diagram over there. In any event, Shmuel's opinion is that you have kana olev kari yorid. You have two layers of schach. They're vertically apart from each other by a certain distance, which we'll define in a moment. And that's how you have the entire roof filled in. And this way, it is called a sukkah miduv leles. Now, Rav Toni Chodo, Rav learned the Mishnah as one statement, sukkah miduv leles, which is shetzilasa meruba mechamasa, ushmul toni tarti. Shmuel had it as two statements. One, a sukkah miduv leles, and number two, shetzilasa meruba mechamasa, two separate statements. Rav Toni Chodo, Rav explained it as sukkah miduv leles, meaning my miduv leles. What does miduv leles mean? It means midul deles. It means dal, like a poor person. In other words, a sukkah aniyah. And therefore, miduv leles and midul deles both represent aniyah, a small amount of schach, albeit shetzilasa meruba mechamasa ksheira. As long as you have more schach than you do sun, in other words, it could be 51-49, so then it's a kosher sukkah. So Rav has it as one statement, a sukkah of dudelis, which has more tzel than sun, so that's ksheira. Shmuel has it as two separate statements. Shmuel Tani Tarti, two separate dinim. Number one, my miduv lelis. What does it mean when it says a sukkah miduv lelis is ksheira? It means mibul velis, from mivuvul. It's intermixed together. Again, you have the two rows, these two layers, and one is higher than the other. And they're halachically viewed as if they were mixed together. And then, v'tartik tani, then he has a second statement in the Mishnah, and that is, in addition to sukkah mivuv lelis ksheira, he also has a separate sukkah, v'tzilasa meruba mechamasa ksheira. And likewise, if you have more schach than you have sunlight, even though it's 51:49, that's also good. And obviously, this sounds very much like the very first Mishnah in this Masechta, and the Gemara is going to ask on that a little bit later, what is the chiddush over here? You already taught us that as long as you have more shade than sun, it's kosher. So here you're telling me the same thing. Why are you telling it to me again? Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye goes, and he says, let's look at Shmuel's statement a little bit more closely. Lo Shanu, when Shmuel said that this is a kosher, a sukkah, Lo Shanu Elo She'en Bein Zeh Lezeh Shlosh Tvachim, there can't be in between the top layer and the bottom layer more than three Tvachim. If you have more than three Tvachim, you have a problem. As long as you have less than three Tvachim, it's fine, because of the principle of Lavud, we can view them all together. Avol Yesh Bein Zeh Lezeh Shlosh Tvachim Sula, but if you then have more than three tvachim, 3.0 tvachim or more between the top layer and the second layer, so then you can combine them, and then each one alone would have to have more than 50% tzel and less than 50% chama, and neither one would have that, therefore they're not able to combine, and therefore it's not a kosher sukkah. That's what Abaye wants to say. Now Rava adds to that further. On my Rava, and the poskim have a whole discussion, does Abaye necessarily agree with Rava, does Rava necessarily agree with Abaye, that the simple way to understand this is Rava is adding on an additional statement. Rava says, Afilu yeish bein zeh lezeh shlosha tvachim. He says, even if you have three tvachim between the top layer and the second layer, so the bottom layer, so therefore, you don't have the principle of lavud combining them together. Nevertheless, nami, it still is good. Because lo amarin, we only said that it's no good, elo she'ein begago tefach. It's only if the boards aren't a tefach, then they have to be within three tvachim of each other. So we have the top layer and the bottom layer. So if there is no boards that are the size of a tefach, then they have to be within three tefachim each other to be mixed together. However, avayesh begago tefach, but if each one of these boards is in fact a tefach wide, so then it's kshera, it's even going to be considered halachically good, even if there is no principle of lavud. Why not? Because we have another principle over here. The aminun chavot, go and bring it down, rami, and place it over there. Chavot rami, we had already mentioned several times previously, is aloch l'moshe b'sinai. It's similar to the category of good ochis michitza. So we view the wall as being able to extend downward. So too, we view the top layer of the schach as being able to be extended downward. Chavot rami, and it's if it's on the same level as the bottom layer of the schach, and therefore they can't combine. So Rav is qualifying Shmuel even further, and he says that Shmuel says that you need lavud, they have to be the top layer within lavud distance to the bottom layer, that's if they're less than one tefach wide each of the boards. But if the boards are more than one tefach wide, the principle halach l'moshe b'sinai of chavut rami allows them to even be higher than 3.0 tefachim apart. And Rav says, I'll show you that I'm right. Amar Rav, where do I tell you that what I'm saying is correct? Because the chi is bei tefach, aminun chavot rami, the chi less bei tefach, lo aminun chavot rami. Where do I get this from, that you have to have a tefach in each of the boards in order for it to be able to apply the principle of chavot rami? And if you don't have that, then you need to have them within lavud distance, otherwise you can't apply the principle of chavot rami. That's based upon a Mishnah in Arlos. What does this Mishnah in Arlos tell us? That's a long Mishnah. And has a number of different din in there. And let's just go through the whole Mishnah, and we'll see Rava's proof. So it says in the Mishnah, all those, Koros Habayis V'aliyah, you have the Koros Habayis, which is the ceiling of the lower floor, which is the floor of the second floor, V'aliyah. And then you have the ceiling of the second floor. So you have Koros Habayis V'aliyah. You have these boards that are on the bottom floor, the ceiling of the bottom floor, and then you have the boards that are the ceiling of the top floor. So these two boards are not perfectly aligned with each other. Koros Habayis V'aliyah, She'ein Aleihem Maziva. They haven't yet had the full cement and plaster and tar put in. So you just have these boards. Now the boards aren't filling up all the space. They're exactly alternating, like we just said in our sukkah, Miduv Lelis, according to Shmuel. So you have the top layer, the second floor ceiling, has every other board there. And the first floor ceiling also has every other board there. Now, they could either be directly one on top of the other, or they could be totally not opposite each other, each one basically filling in the space of the other one. So these are the two possibilities, and the Mishnah is going to have over here in all those both cases. So it starts over the first case, the Hei Mechuvonos. When you have the top floor, the second floor, the boards that you have are exactly on top of the boards from the lower floor, from the ceiling of the first floor. That's called mechuvonos. They're exactly one on top of the other. So tumah tachas achas mihen. Now if you have tumas meis underneath one of these boards, so then tachtel tameh, everything underneath that board is going to be tameh. And since the boards, we'll see, are one tefach wide, it is allowed to go sideways over those boards, but it can't penetrate through the boards. Bein tachton ulel yona, if you have the tumas meis is above the first floor ceiling, but below the second floor ceiling, so then between the two, so then beinam tameh, everything in between them is going to be tameh. However, agavi ulel yona, it's not going to be tameh, and below that board, it's not going to be tameh as well. It's only going to be tameh in between the two boards. And if you have the tuma agabi el yona, so if the tuma is only on top of the second floor ceiling, so then kinegdo al rukia tummy, everything above that is going to be tummy, but nothing below it is going to be tummy. That's when the boards are exactly michuvanos. Then the second part of this Mishnah tells us, hayu ha yonos kevei na tachtonos. They weren't aligned one on top of the other. They were not michuvanos. They were the exact opposite of that. You had them in between each other. So the top layer, let's say, is in, you can see this in all the diagrams that I mentioned before, they're the same diagrams over here. So in the top layer, you have the boards in position 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. And in the bottom layer, they're in positions 2, 4, 6, and 8. If you understand what I'm saying, they're not opposite each other. You have one that's specifically not on top of the other. And neither of the boards on the top are above the boards on the bottom, and none of the boards on the bottom are beneath the boards on the top. So this is called not mechuvanos. So how you are, if they're exactly filling in the spaces from the top layer that has spaces in the bottom layer, so tumah tachteh. Now if you have tumah under any one of these boards, so tachas kulun tameh, the entire area will be enclosed by the ohel that you have created between the first layer and the second layer, and therefore everything underneath them will be tameh. So if you have a utensil or fruit or something else underneath any one of these boards, they're all going to become tameh. Agabeim, if the tameh dika bones or Tumas Meis is above any of these boards, so then Kinegdan Alarakia is Tameh, only directly above them, and going all the way up to Shemayim is going to be Tameh, but nothing else is going to be Tameh. That is the Mishnah in Olos. And now, we have to understand that Mishnah a little bit better. V'toni Allah, Rava tells us that a Braisa commented on that Mishnah and said, B'medvar Mamurim, under what circumstances is this Mishnah true? The first part and the second part, Mechuvanos and not Mechuvanos. So that's Bisman Sheish Rem Tefach. The Braisa says specifically that's only talking about when they have a Tefach. And likewise, the space in between them is a tefach. So the boards are a tefach, and the space is a tefach, at least. If the boards and the spaces between them are not considered a tefach, so then, if you have tuma underneath one of them, only tachtel tameh beinayim v'al gabeim tar. So this tuma space that you have underneath the board, so only under that board is it going to be tameh, but it won't spread out because the boards are in a tefach, and the space in between them is less than a tefach. So you don't have this rule that if the boards are a tefach, you can combine the top layer with the bottom layer to make it look as if it's one single ceiling. Now, this Braisa goes exactly like Rava explained. And therefore, Alma, what do you see from this Braisa? Rava says, Ki yis be'tefach, amrinu chavot rami, v'chi les be'tefach, lo amrinu chavot rami. This is exactly what Rava says. Rava had explained that the only time you don't need to have them within lava distance of each other, you need lava distance between the top layer and the bottom layer if it's less than a tefach in the width of each of the boards. Then they have to be within 3.0 tefachim, less than 3.0 tefachim of each other, the top layer and the bottom layer, in order to be able to combine them. But even if you have more than 3.0 tefachim between the top layer and the bottom layer, and the boards are a tefach wide, then we apply the principle of chavot rami. But if it's less than a tefach wide, the boards, and it's more than 3 tefachim between the bottom layer and the top layer, then you can't apply the principle of chavot rami. That's exactly what Rava said, shma mina. This braisa commenting on the Mishnah and all those proves Rava's idea. Now the Gemara says, that's what Rava said, but Yosef Rav Kahana was sitting and learning, but Karmelo Shmais, and he said over what Rava said, and Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi heard this, and he said to Rav Kahana, he says, really? If you don't have a tefach in the boards, we don't say law mirin mchavot rami unless it's within lava distance? V'atanya, but we learned in the Braisa that that's not true. We have in the Braisa, and this is talking about Hilchus Erevin, we just actually had this a few days ago, and now we're going to repeat it again now. Korah hayotzi b'kosel zeh, ve'ena nogas b'kosel zeh. We remind ourselves that then quickly of a korah, when you have a three-walled mavui, so mid the araisa, you can carry within that area, but mid the rabban, it looks like it's very much like the Rishus HaRabim, so the rabbi said, make sort of a heker on that fourth wall, between this mavui and the rishus harabim, so you don't carry between them. So midrabbani, you have to put up either a lechi or a korah. We're not going to focus on the lechi right now, just on the korah. The braisa tells us that this korah has to go from one wall to the other wall, has to go across the entire space of the fourth wall. So let's say the wall is on the east and on the west, and then you have the back wall of this mavui. It's not a mavui mafulish, it's a mavui sasum. You have a northern wall. So now the entire southern exposure is totally open. So you have to put a beam called the korah that goes from the eastern wall to the western wall. And this halachically is enough of a heker to, quote, enclose this fourth wall that you're now allowed to carry midrabbanan inside this mavui. Now, when you put the korah up, it's supposed to go all the way from the eastern wall all the way to the western wall. But let's say it didn't. Korah yotze mikosel zeh, the ein no gas mikosel zeh, it doesn't reach the other wall. So it starts off in the east wall, but it doesn't make it all the way to the west wall. Or you put a korah starting from the east wall, and you put a korah starting from the west wall, and they don't meet in the middle. V'chein shnei koros, achaz yotze mikosel zeh, v'achaz yotze mikosel zeh, they ein no gas ubezu. So the board, the korah that comes out from the eastern wall, comes towards the middle, but doesn't make it to the middle. The board that comes out from the western wall comes towards the middle, but doesn't make it to the actual middle. But in each of these situations, the first longer korah that went from the eastern wall almost to the western wall, or in the second case, when you have both coming out from the eastern and western wall, they meet in the middle, but not exactly. So it depends. If they're pachos mishlosha, if they're within 3.0 less tvachim from each other, either in the first case, from the eastern wall all the way to the western wall, it's within less than 3.0 tvachim of the western wall. Or in the case we have some coming out from the eastern wall, some coming out from the west, the one they're meeting in the middle. If it's less than 3.0 tvachim, so then ain't no tzarech lavi korah acheres. Then you don't need another korah because of the principle of lavud, you can fill it in. But if it's 3.0 or more, shlosha, then tzarech lavi korah acheres. Then you have to go bring another board. Now, that's the opinion of the Tanakam in this braisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, and we turn to Chabez Amud Beis, and he says, it depends. If you have, he holds that the din of lavud is 4, not 3.0. This is a famous sheet of Shimon Gamliel that we don't possibly like, but his sheet is that lavud requires 4.0 tvachim. So he says, not 3.0, but it's 4.0. Pachas me'arba, if it's less than 4.0, it's 3.999. So then, you have the principle of lavud over here, and you don't need another korah in the top, in the first case, or in the second case. Ein tzarech lavi korah acheres. However, if it's 4.0, arba tvachim, so then tzarech lavi korah acheres. You have to bring another board. The Braitzer continues and says, V'chein shnei koros hamasimos, if you have two boards that are twins to each other. Now here, the boards are going all the way from the east to the west, but they're not very wide, and they're less than one tefach each of them. Can you combine them or not? So, lo bazuki de lekabel ariach, the first one can't hold an ariach. Ariach is a half brick. A brick is 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim. So a half brick is going to be 3 tvachim by 1.5 tvachim. Now we orient the brick perpendicular to the korah. So you have this 1.5 width of this that has to go across the width of the korah. The width of this brick, 1.5, has to go on top of a korah. Now if the korah was 1.0 tvachim, so then it would extend out a half of a tefach on both sides combined, because it's 1.5 tvachim and the width of the korah is only 1. So it will have a half of a tefach extra. A half of a tefach is 2 etzbos. So it will extend 1 etzba out one way, and 1 etzba out the other way. That's considered sturdy enough that it will stay on top. So that's the normal din. It has to have a tefach in the korah in order to be a substantive korah to count. So, in this situation, we have two of these korahs. Neither one has the ability to hold up the ariach because neither one is a tefach. Lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach, lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach. So now, im kabolos ariach l'roch bo tefach, if you put these two together, masimos means they're twins, you put them together. That's the way Rashi understands it. Others understand it, that no, you have to have even a space in between them, and that's still acceptable. That's what Tosus brings down over here. Im kabolos ariach l'roch bo tefach, whether you learn like Rashi, like Tosus, if you have over here that this 1.5 tefach brick can have its support by both of these two koros, each of which is less than a tefach, but together they make up the width of a tefach, say in tzarech lavi korah acheres, then you don't need another korah. But if they don't, so then tzarech lavi korah acheres, then you have to have a substantive korah, and you have to bring a third korah. Now, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel adds over here, and he says, Omer, no, im kabel sariach li'arko shlosha tvachim, you need to have 3 tvachim. You have to have it by the length of this ariach, not by the width of the ariach. So it has to have 3 tvachim. So if it can hold 3 tvachim, then ain't tzarech lavi korah acheres. But if it can't hold 3 tvachim, tzarech lavi korah acheres, then you have to bring another korah. Braisa continues and says, Hayu achas lemala v'yachas lemala. lemato, if these two korus were not parallel with each other, not on the same plane, but one was actually higher than the other. So now, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rowina, Yona, Kilu, hi lemato. We can halachically view the top one as if it's on the same plane as the bottom one. Or Vesa Tachtona, Kilu, hi lemato. Or you view the bottom one as being raised up to make the plane of the top one. Even though they're not on the same plane, one is higher than the other, so we view them as being on the same plane. Ubilvad shalote alyona lamala miyasum ama batachtona lamata miyasara tvachim. This is only going to be the case if they're within the kasha areas of the sukkah. So the top one has to be not higher than 20 ama, and the bottom one can't be lower than 10 tvachim. But as long as they're both within the area that's kasha with sukkah, we can halachically view them as being on the same plane. That is what Rav Yosi Yehuda adds. Now this is the brisa. Now we get to Rav Ashi's question to Rav Kahana on Rav's statement. Again, Rav Kahana had quoted Rav's statement, and Rav Ashi questioned it from this brisa that we just quoted. This brisa just said, Hozev Ezeh Besol Chesrim, the implication over here from Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda is that as long as they're not one higher than 20 Amah and one lower than 10 Tvachim, they're okay. That implies if they're both within 20 Amah, above 10 Tvachim, we do say, Aminun Chavut Rami, we do in fact allow you to view them as being on the same level. But it didn't mention anything about their width. Afogad the less bay tefach. This seems to imply that you can say chavot rami, even if the top one is less than a tefach and the bottom one is less than a tefach, you can still raise the bottom one or lower the top one so they're on the same plane. Kashon rabbi that says that it needs to be at least a tefach in order to apply the principle of chavot rami. Here you clearly see that it doesn't. So this is what Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, no, Rav is right. Amalei, Rav Kahana says back to Rav Ashi, Toritz ve'mahachi. This is where I have to understand what Rav Yosi Yehuda said over here. He said, "Ubuvach shlote elyona lamala miyesrim." You have to make sure that the top one is not higher than 20 amma. Ela besoch esrim. It has to be within 20 amma of the ground. And v'atachton, it has to be smuch lo bepachus bishlosha. And if you want to apply the principle of chavot rami, the bottom one has to be within 3 tefachim of the top one. The top one has to be less than 20.0 amma above the ground, and it has to be within 3 tefachim of the bottom one. Or alternatively, inami buvach shlote tachton lamata miyesor. Or the bottom one can't be less than 10 tvachim above the ground, and el lamal miyasar tvachim, it has to be higher than 10 tvachim, the el yona, and the top one has to be smuch lo b'pachos b'shlosh, has to be within 3 tvachim of that. You have to have the principle of lavud over here as well. However, avo shlosha, but if they're more than 3.0 tvachim apart, so then you can't apply chavot rami unless, kiven the less be tefach, that's because it doesn't have a tefach, you can't apply chavot rami. Lo amrinu chavot rami, if it's less than a tefach. However, implication being that if it's more than a tefach, you can apply chavot rami. So therefore, the braisa is not at all a kasha, Rav Kahana explains to Rav Ashi on Rava. Okay. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah and says, we said in our Mishnah that if the shade is more than the sun, so then it's kasher sukkah. The Gemara says, ha, that implies, ki hadadi, if they're exactly the same, it's 50-50. Right? The Mishnah says if it's 51 shade, 49 sun, it's kosher. Implication being it's 50-50, ki adade, psula, it's no good. But wait a second, we learned in the very first daf, in this Masechta, Bezim and Aleph in the Mishnah, v'hotinan b'idach pirka, and we learned in the very first parak, in the other parak, Beis Amud Aleph, Vishachamasa Meruba Mesilasa Psula. There it said in the negative. It said if the sun is more than the shade, if the sun is 51 and the shade is 49, the schach is 49, Psula, it's no good. Implication being ha, ki hadadi, if the sun and the shade are exactly the same, 50-50, Kshayra. That implication from Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph says 50-50 is good. And the implication over here is that 50-50 is no good. So which one is it? So it says Lokasha, not a problem. The two aren't contradicting each other. Kanumala, in our Mishnah, we're talking about where do you say and describe Shetzilasa Meruba Mechamasa? That's at the level of the Schach. So there, if it's 50-50, so then it's fine. However, on Daf Beis, Omer Aleph, Kan Milamata, it's talking about on the ground. So not where the Schach is, on the ground. If it's 51-49 sun, so then you can assume that it's 50-50 at the Schach level. But if it's 50-50 on the ground, so then it's certainly going to be less than 50-50 on the Schach level, and that's why it's no good. So therefore, they're not contradicting each other. Our Mishnah is talking about from the Schach level, it has to be 50-50 to be good. And the Mishnah from Daf Beis Omer Aleph tells us that if it's 50-50 on the bottom level, it's no good, because it's by definition going to be less than 50-50 on the Schach level. And This is what Rav Papa says. I'm a Rav Papa. This is what the popular aphorism of people is. Kizuzu mila el, kiistro mila tachas. If you have a hole the size of a zuz at the top, so a certain amount of sun will come in, but by definition, the sun's rays will spread out, and it'll be like the size of a coin of an ister, which is larger than a zuz, at the bottom. So therefore, at the schach level, a certain size hole will make a much bigger size sun at the bottom level. So that's why these two mishnayos are not a stira to each other. Finally, we said at the end of our Mishnah, Me'uva, if it's thick, the schach is sich, kimin bayis, like a house. So then, we don't make a gzeira and say that it's no good, but we allow it to be a kosher sukkah. The rabbis didn't institute a gzeira over here. Tanu Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, Ha'me'uva kimin bayis, if you have very, very thick schach, like a house, the schach is so thick, it's like the ceiling of a house, we don't make a gzeira. Afopi she'ena kochav near mitocha, even though you can't see the stars through this schach, nevertheless, gzeira, it is perfectly good. However, ein koch vechama nirin mitocha. But if the koch vechama, now the way Rashi understands koch vechama, he says kishachama zorachas olah, during the daytime when the sun's rays are coming through the schach, vein zirhurechama, the sun's rays are not nirin mitocha, they can't be seen inside the sukkah, ein zudomu la sukkah alibi the beishamai, that is not considered a valid sukkah according to beishamai. So that's what it means over here. Ein koch vechama nirin mitocha, if the rays of the sun aren't able to be seen inside the sukkah during the daytime, so Beishamai posts, Beishamai says it's not a kosher sukkah. However, we pass like Beis Hillel, who Beis Hillel Machshir, Beis Hillel say, no, it still is a valid sukkah. Now, there's a whole big discussion amongst the poskim, how thick can the schach be? Ideally, the schach shouldn't be so thick that the rain can't come through, but even there, Bidi Evet, as long as it's kosher schach, even if it's very, very thick, we do say it's good, Bidi Evet. But L'chatchila, there are differences amongst the poskim, how much schach you should have. Ideally, according to many poskim, you should be able to see even middle-sized stars visible through the schach, but certainly, Bidi Evet, a much tighter packed schach is going to be kosher as well. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you're to go make your sukkah on top of a wagon, now a wagon's portable, it's movable. Nevertheless, that's a kosher sukkah, and it's not muksa. So therefore, or if you make your sukkah obirosh asfina, or on top of a boat, again, it's portable, it's movable, both of these are perfectly kosher sukkahs, kishera. And furthermore, there's no problem using them on yontif, because you're allowed to go on a wagon on yontif, you're allowed to go on a boat on yontif, technically. For all the love of yontif, you can go up on them on yontif, they aren't considered muksa. As Rashi points out, these are both the diras aroi, these are temporary type structures, and it's acceptable for a sukkah. And there's no problem going up in an yontif. Rashi says, Mishum deboila mista seifa. There's no reason to think there's a problem going up on an yontif, so you didn't have to tell us this, but because you're going to tell us in the seifa that you can't go up on a sukkah in a tree, then olin, it's going to say over there, so therefore, tana resha olin. So here it says you can go up. So there's no chiddush over here in that you can go up on this sukkah on top of a wagon or sukkah on top of a boat on yontif, it's not a problem. However, if you build a sukkah, birosh ha'ilan, if you build a treehouse sukkah, so you're using the walls of the tree to be the sukkah, so then, or you have o al gabi gobo, or you have a sukkah that's on the back of a camel, in both of these situations, kshera, it's still a perfectly kosher sukkah. Okay, you're doing it right. You have schach on top of it that's kosher. However, here, in either the ilan or the camel, both of them are muktzah. You can't go up on a tree. You can't go up on a camel on yontif or Shabbos. Kerev ain't all of them yontif. And you can't go up on it on yontif because it's muktzah. Now, shtayim be'ilan, if you have two of the walls of the sukkah are the tree, and va'achas be the adam, and one of the sides, you need three walls, and one of them was made by man. So how do we view this? Is it viewed as a tree sukkah, or is it viewed as a man-made sukkah? Or oshtayim b'dei odom, maybe two of the walls b'dei odom, only v'achas b'ilan, only one of the walls is made up of the tree. So again, it's k'sherav ein olin lo b'yontif. We view this as a treehouse sukkah, and therefore it is no good to go into it on yontif because it's muktza. Shalosh b'dei odom, but if you have three walls that were made by man, and one wall is made by the tree, v'achas b'ilan, since you only needed three walls, so the three man-made walls are fine, so therefore the wall of the ilan is unnecessary. In this situation, k'shera, it's a perfectly kosher sukkah, that never was in doubt. And the Mishnah says you're allowed to go up and on it on yontif because after all, it's not essential, this fourth wall for the sukkah, and therefore it doesn't negate the value or the validity of this sukkah as being having three walls that are man-made, and it's not muktzah. We turn to Chav Gimel Amud Aleph to finish off the Mishnah. Zaklal, the Mishnah tells us the rule. Whenever we have Zaklal, it doesn't mean Zaklal. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what it's coming to teach us. So, Kol Shani Notel Ha'ilon, if you were to remove the tree and Well, the sukkah would still stand up on its own, so the tree is not essential. So then, then this is a perfectly kosher sukkah, and you can use it on yontif because it's not muktzah, because the walls of the tree were not essential. But if you didn't have that, if you removed the tree and the sukkah would fall down, so then it's a kosher sukkah. However, you're not allowed to go up on yontif. And the Gemara will discuss this further. I'm sorry I didn't point it out sooner. Many of the discussions that we had on the Amud Beis over here, there are excellent diagrams found in the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara. Please go back and look at those if you had any trouble understanding what I was saying. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.